A boat gently rocks beneath you, the waves lulling you side to side. A haunting voice calls to you on the cool sea air. You reach out. You've been lured in by the Siren Sisters. Hi, I'm Audrey.
And I'm Ash.
And we are recapping and reviewing the classic, the OG, The Little Mermaid, released in 1989.
That one.
So good. It's the best one. It's certainly the start of a movement.
For us, at least. I'm sure for many others.
I agree. I would think so. I have a pretty detailed recap pulled up. I don't know if we need to do all that.
I mean, we basically have this movie memorized, but...
Basically. Well, watching it, I realized I had not seen it in quite a while.
Okay.
And things were a lot funnier than I remembered.
Disney movies will get you like that.
Right? It's like, I think I forgot a lot of this movie and how stuff just happens.
Yeah.
There's not like a big moral. It's just like things be happening.
Yeah.
The Little Mermaid was released in November 17th, 1989. It's about 183 minutes. And the budget was $40 million, and the box office return was $235 million.
Wow.
So they were like, this could be profitable.
Great success.
Great success. And written and directed by John Munsker and Ron Clements. A classic duo. The music, I think, I still prefer Alan Menken's Disney songs. I feel like they're, I don't know, I just like them. I like them a lot.
You prefer them to what?
Prefer them to other Disney music writers.
Oh, just like, all else?
Well, he's one name that sticks out for me.
Same.
Right, as being like, I don't know, it's charming, it's interesting, it's a little bit Broadway, but it's not overly, I don't know, it's not overly copying someone else's style, you know?
Yeah. It's like the quintessential Disney music feel. Mm-hmm. It's usually Alan Menken stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm still disappointed by some of the new songs.
In the actual musical, or what do you mean? Oh, just, okay, we're back to the new, in general. Just new okay, Disney. Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
It's like, it doesn't have that like special sauce for me, but I'm also not a child anymore.
Is that it?
Who could be the problem here? Not I, surely. Oh, that's so funny. Alrighty, so let's get into the plot, which it's a series of things happening.
Sure is.
A 16-year-old mermaid princess, Ariel, is dissatisfied with her underwater life in the kingdom of Atlantica, a fantasy kingdom in the Atlantic Ocean. She is fascinated by the human world, her best friend Flounder, and Ariel collect human artifacts in her grotto. She ignores warnings from her father, King Triton, the ruler of Atlantica, that contact between merpeople and humans is forbidden. It's a big no-no. You can't do it.
Which is fair, honestly.
Like, we eat stuff from the ocean pretty regularly.
Yeah, we eat but fish.
You know what else eats a lot of fish?
Other fish?
It's other fish.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's one of those like moral, quote unquote moral, thought experiments that happen when you get mermaid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh man, do we eat her? Like, I don't know. Do you eat everything that comes from the ocean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, does it have a soul or not?
Right. One night, Ariel, Flounder, and Sebastian, a crab who is King Triton's advisor and court composer, travel to the ocean surface to watch a birthday celebration for Prince Eric. How do they find out about this?
Well, I think Ariel is just like swimming around and she sees the fireworks, right?
I want to say yes.
I feel like that's what happens.
I think that's correct. I can like see it in my mind.
Yeah.
The like colors.
Yes.
Ariel immediately falls in love with Eric after watching him dance and play the flute.
Same.
A choice.
Okay. Well, she's never seen a human this close before. Okay, he is.
And he's probably her age.
Is he 16? Like,
I guess.
He seems like he's like 30 in retrospect. He's like, I mean, he's the prince. They don't talk about him being close to like ruling, right? Like his dad's not like going to die or something soon. Like he's just the prince.
No, they really don't. They don't talk about like how he rules a kingdom, which I think is the best choice. Like, just don't bring it up. Like, it's not that important, okay?
That's fair. Yeah, we don't care about the politics of the human world. We already know about those.
Right. And not in this movie specifically. Like, if you wanted to get into some of those dynamics, surely a different movie would be the venue to do that.
Yeah.
But not this one.
Maybe in the live action remake. Who knows?
I don't know. It could be good. I don't know. We'll see.
I have hopes. They're not high, but I have hopes.
All right. Ariel falls in love with him. Suddenly a storm arrives, wrecking the ship and knocking Eric overboard. Oh, they do unveil Eric's birthday present on the ship.
Yes.
And it's a bigger than life size statue of himself in stone, which we commented at the time. How did they get that on board without him knowing?
Yeah, I don't know. Just hanging also, out there on the deck.
Under a tarp.
Yes.
He didn't think like, hey, Grimsby, what is that?
No.
he just got on board and started drinking like G&Ts and playing the flute.
Yeah. No worries in the world.
Oh, and his dog is there. His dog's very good.
Max.
Oh, Max. That's it. I was like, I know that dog has a name.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Eric gets knocked overboard in the storm, and Ariel rescues him and brings him to shore. She sings to him and leaves just as he regains consciousness, so he doesn't find out that she's a mermaid and that mermaids exist. Fascinated by the memory of her voice, Eric vows to find the girl who saved and sang to him, and Ariel vows to find a way to join him in his world. Discovering a change in Ariel's behavior, Triton questions Sebastian about it, and he learns of her love for Eric. He's like, she's happy now. What's going on?
Something's
there?
Wrong.
Not a great reaction, King Triton. Outraged, Triton travels to her grotto and destroys her collection of artifacts in a misguided attempt to protect her, and he destroys the hot statue that she found of Eric.
A real tragedy. Okay.
So it's framed as Flounder and Sebastian getting her the statue. And I just, how?
Again, how did it get there?
Maybe the statue is secretly really light. It's just foam.
Maybe. Is that it? Because like her grotto has a side opening that's like big. And then an opening at the top that is very small. So it didn't just, like, fall in there.
Mm-mm.
How?
Oh, it's so good. Unless they had help from, like, several whales. I don't
see,
know.
See, that's what I was thinking, too. Again, plot that we don't need to see.
Right. She's a princess. Who knows?
Yeah.
After a remorseful Triton leaves, two eels named Flotsam and Jetsam convince Ariel to visit Ursula, the sea witch. Which is the best character. I love her so much.
Yes, 10 out of 10.
Influential to this day. Ursula makes a deal with Ariel to transform her into a human for 3 days in exchange for Ariel's voice, which Ursula puts in a nautilus shell. The cutest accessory.
Yes, iconic. Love it.
Within these 3 days, Ariel must receive the kiss of true love from Eric. If Ariel gets Eric to kiss her, she will remain a human permanently. Otherwise, she will transform back into a mermaid and belong to Ursula. Ariel accepts and is given human legs under the water. And lungs under the water.
Indeed. How is she not immediately just crushed to death?
Well, the pressure I'm not worried about because she's already been in that pressure. But the drowning.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she knows how lungs work. She would immediately start breathing water.
That's true. But when she's a mermaid, she can go up to the surface and breathe air.
That's true.
Is she breathing air? We have questions.
We have biological mermaid questions.
So did she just maybe just changed her bottom half and her top half is the same?
Can she still breathe water as a human? That would be a fun change.
Oh, interesting. She's like a mermaid, but no tail, which is the worst.
Yeah, that does suck.
Because that's all we want.
That's so funny. Okay, here we go. So Flounder and Sebastian take her to the surface, which this is where the pressure would come in. If she ascends too quickly with mm-hmm. human lungs, like,
dangerous. Pop.
It's very dangerous. So I think her, I think she still has a swim bladder. I think that's why.
Ah, okay.
That's why she can do this.
That makes sense to me.
It's where her liver is what going to say.
Okay.
Eric finds Ariel on the beach and takes her to his castle, unaware that she is the one who had rescued him earlier. He just says, oh, cool, a lady in need of some assistance. Let me help.
I'm chivalrous. I'll help her bring her into my home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Also, that sail she's got wrapped around herself, pretty hot.
So cute.
Ariel spends time with Eric, and at the end of the second day, they almost kiss but are thwarted by Flotsam and Jetsam. Furious at Ariel's close success, Ursula disguises herself as a beautiful young woman named Vanessa, who appears on shore singing with Ariel's voice. Eric recognizes this. This moment in the movie is so funny. He's like, he throws his flute. He's like, I'm going to forget about that mysterious voice forever. I throw my flute.
Yeah.
And then he hears it. He's like, wait a minute.
Oh, immediately. Obsessed again.
Mm-hmm. But I think it does show, like, her voice is enchanting him.
Yeah, he gets, like, a sparkle in his eye. Like, he's not just duped. She is magically mm-hmm. getting him.
Mm-hmm. Although, that is Ariel's voice. So did Ariel's voice magically enchant him the first time?
Oh, my God. He's just a pawn.
She's a siren. Well, I think Ariel's a siren and she doesn't realize it.
I like that.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. Eric recognizes the song, and in her disguise, Ursula transformed as Vanessa cast a hypnotic enchantment. Okay, so sure. She casts a hypnotic enchantment on Eric to make him forget about Ariel.
Oh. The next day,
just forget about that bitch. The next day, Ariel discovers that Eric will be married to Vanessa Scuttle, a seagull who Ariel used to visit for inaccurate human knowledge.
Okay. The best. That's a deep cut.
Mm-hmm. When she was a mermaid, discovers Vanessa's true identity and Scuttle informs Ariel of Vanessa's true identity. And Ariel immediately tries to pursue the wedding ship. Sebastian informs Triton. Scuttle disrupts the wedding with some help of various sea animals. And in the chaos, the Nautilus shell around Ursula's neck is destroyed, and Ariel's voice floats up back into Ariel's throat and breaks Ursula's enchantment over Eric. Realizing that Ariel is the girl who saved his life, Eric rushes to kiss her, but the sun sets and Ariel transforms back into a mermaid and Vanessa transforms back into her true form of Ursula. I love when she's like transforming back into a mermaid and her hands are just like, ah. She's like, oh no!
Oh no! Owie!
It's very funny. Let's see. Ursula kidnaps Ariel. And kind of she's like threatening Ariel in front of Triton. And she's like, hey, I got a magical contract with your dumb daughter. Let me be ruler of the ocean. And Ariel's like, oh, my God.
What have I done?
Crazy. This was her plan all along. Triton is like, yeah, okay. Don't kill my daughter, please. And Ursula transforms him into a polyp, like just a little guy. And loses his authority over Atlantica. Ursula declares herself queen of the seven seas. She's in an ocean, first of all. But okay. Queen of the seven seas. But before she can use the trident, Eric intervenes with a harpoon. He swam down through harpoon. This cannot be that deep, is all I'm going to say.
You're right.
Ursula attempts to kill Eric, but Ariel intervenes, causing Ursula to inadvertently kill Flotsam and Jetsam. Enraged, oh, yes. Yeah, her baby.
Yeah, they disintegrate.
They killed her dogs.
Yeah, I'd be mad too.
Same. Enraged, Ursula uses the trident to grow to a monstrous size. Ariel and Eric reunite on the surface just before Ursula grows past them and towers over. She then gains full control over the entire ocean, creating a storm and bringing sunken ships to the surface. Just as Ursula is about to kill Ariel, Eric commandeers a wrecked ship, kills Ursula by impaling her with its splintered bowsprit. So, like, the front bit of the bow. One of those. With Ursula dead, Triton and the other polyps in Ursula's garden revert to their original forms. Everybody's okay. And realizing that Ariel truly loves Eric, Triton willingly changes her from a mermaid into a human permanently and approves her marriage to Eric. Ariel and Eric marry on a ship and depart with all of Ariel's friends and family watching over them. There's a rainbow in the sky. They're very happy.
It's great. Ta-da!
Hooray, we did it.
Yay.
Oh, there were so many adult jokes, or like jokes that like would, I don't know, they were jokes written for somebody smart enough to get them.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like the content was adult, quote unquote. It was just like, I don't know, it was like little things, like Scuttle going, this still cracks me up. Scuttle is like, oh my god, Ariel, I was flying. Of course I was flying. Like, it's that.
Scuttle.
It's so funny. And he's trying to explain the whole thing.
Yes.
But it's like, I don't know. There was a lot that I forgot, and I was delighted to receive.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely one that holds up for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, some people like to, you know, criticize Disney movies and like they say, well, Ariel gave up her voice for a man. But like, I don't agree with that because I feel like her whole purpose was just to get to the surface and be a human. And like, she liked Eric, but like the whole time she keeps going to the surface, even though her dad tells her not to. Mm-hmm. She's collected like a whole grotto of random artifacts. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, she loved him, and that was, like, the deal that Ursula made, but she was kind of just like, I just want to go be a human, yo.
Mm-hmm. I agree. In my mind, I would frame it more like her falling in love with Eric was like, okay, I have to get up there now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, I've always wanted to go. I've always wanted that. I've always, like, loved that thing, and this is, like, the little push. That is like, yeah, I'm going to go do this now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think she's a great role model and she's willing to like fight for what she wants. And mm-hmm. She does get kind of duped. But, you know, when you're 16 years old, you're very
you don't
dupable.
Have a great grasp on contract law.
Yes.
Yeah, she's not to be blamed for being taken advantage of.
Right. And to be fair, Ursula, in my opinion, violated her own contract by intervening, so.
I would agree. So up until that point, Ursula's not evil for me.
No, not at all.
Like, she's just a businesswoman. a girl boss, if you will.
Right.
But yeah, until she, like, you know, violates the contract, I'm on her side 100%.
Yeah, I mean, you're the one who signed your name to a contract that like forfeits your life if some dude doesn't kiss you in 3 days.
An interesting deal.
Yeah, that's not Ursula's fault.
No. Well, and I would also blame Triton because he had the power to do this the whole time, and he was like, well, instead of me doing this in a safe way for my daughter, she has to go, like, find some back alley shyster who's going to, you know, screw her over in the long term. He could have just worked with her on this the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like, hey, let's do some sanctioned visits. Let's build up to this. yeah. I mean, that could be the... So, watching the movie with you and Annalicia... And Michael, I was very struck by, like, there's not really an underlying moral that was, like, easily discernible. Other than, like, you know, follow your dreams, you know.
Yeah. Kind of.
It's not like a sense of morality or, like, doing right or wrong was driving her actions, mm-hmm. you know? Which, like, I feel like that is a theme in a lot of, like, that has to be part of new Disney movies. Like, yeah. What is, they think very actively about the message they're trying to convey.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really delighted that just a bunch of stuff happened.
I mean, yeah, I feel like we lose the moral of, like, lesson in translation, because in the original story, the Hans Christian Andersen story, she dies at the end. And so, mm-hmm. like, the moral is like, hey, if you go after, like, if you give up everything to go after something that's, like,
it's not going to go well.
Yeah, it's not going to go well, and you could lose everything.
You could die.
Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. in the Disney movie, it ends up happy, so there's no consequences.
Right.
So I guess we do kind of lose that, like, that fable type setup where it's like, here's the bad thing that happened because of your actions, and we lose right. that. Which, I'm not mad about at all.
No.
Love the happy ending. 10 out of 10.
If this didn't have a happy ending, I would riot. This would not be a well-loved movie.
Yeah, that would be... That would be kind of rough.
I think it would have flopped.
Yeah.
Would have been very bad.
Yeah.
So, what would we rate? Okay, I need to write out the structure of how we rate things. So, do we rate the movie 10 out of 10?
I think we're doing 5, because movies are rated out of 5 stars, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And then the mermaid scale is out of 10.
Which, I would feel confident, 5 stars for both of us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this is an impeccable movie. The music's fantastic. The animation is beautiful. Very, very good. It's gorgeous. Yeah.
It holds up.
Mm-hmm. It really does. And it's all 2D. Like, I there's no 3D elements that I was Mm-mm. aware of.
Not that I know of.
Mm-mm. 5 stars. Great all around.
Yep.
Okay, and then for the mermaid scale, out of 10 fish scales, I would give this an 8. We see multiple mermaids. We see how they live in the ocean. We get to see magical transformations back and forth. And, like, I don't know. The ocean's, like, always a part of it. Like, it's always integrated throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Even when she gets on land, like, we still see a lot of fish. We see Flounder and Sebastian running around and helping her out, and like they go on a boat, they have a romantic lake day, you know, that kind of thing, or lagoon, I should say. I would give it, well, maybe I'll give it a 9. 9 out of 10 fish scales. If it were all underwater all the time, then right. it would be a 10 out of 10.
Right. That's, and see, I, exactly the same for me. I was going to say a 9.
Nice.
And I wanted to give it a 10, but I was like, well, there are parts where she's not a mermaid, so like 10 out of 10 would be constant mermaid all the time, so I have to do a 9, I guess. Mm-hmm, but like mm-hmm. the times when we get a lot of time of her as a mermaid,
mm-hmm.
and the times that she is a mermaid, like, it's animated, so obviously they can do whatever they want. They're not, like, withheld by filming with a human person in a pool. So yes. You have a lot of freedom. So we see her swimming around, and like her hair is flowing in the most beautiful way I've ever seen in my life, and like
the best.
Yes. And just the shapes are so beautiful. And Glenn Keane is like one of our favorite artists. He's the one that designed her, and it's just like the shapes are good, and it just mm-hmm. really scratched my brain to see her again. Mm-hmm. And I mm-hmm. love her, and she's my favorite. So 9 out of 10, mm-hmm. but secretly 10 out of 10.
we can do 9.5. That's fair.
9.9.
That's so funny. 9.9.
Yeah. I mean, 9 is okay.
Secretly. I'll just put it in italics.
I know. I do like that we see, like, other mermaids and mermen, which is kind of rare, usually in this type of thing. So that was cool. Yeah. And can we talk about Triton and his nipples?
Do we have to? But yeah, we can.
We don't see male nipples very often.
No, we feel really like in don't. Disney stuff. I respect the hell out of Disney for putting nipples on. Putting nipples on Triton.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Do we see his belly button or no? I feel like his belly button is covered. Like, he has high-waisted mermaid pants.
Yeah, I don't think we see his belly button. I think it's just that, like, barrel chest kind kind of vibe.
Ariel has a belly button though, right?
She does, yes.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. He has old man swim pants that hold up.
High-waisted grandpa pants.
Yeah, exactly. He does look a lot older than Ariel, though. So, well, and I guess they're seven sisters, so.
Yeah, yeah, and she's the youngest, so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's a single dad.
Oh, okay. I did find a little snippet. Computer-generated imagery was used to create some of the wrecked ships in the final battle. Because that's okay. Like a complicated I could see that. Shape, moving in a circle.
Yeah.
They did a really good job, though. Yeah, so they animated it using 3D wireframe models, which were plotted as line art into cells and painted traditionally, which is why we didn't clock it. Gotcha. So they formed it 3D for the movement, and then they painted over it.
That makes sense. Yeah, I like that.
That's really cool. I think that's a great way to do it. I know there's some modern animation techniques that work similarly. Mm-hmm. They plot out wireframe models, and 2D art is grafted on top of it, like Klaus and the little Pixar animated short with the paper airplanes.
Oh, yeah. I love that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like good. Some of my favorite things.
I know, right? It works very well.
Yeah, because it's like a living painting then,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is what I want.
Yes, precisely. That's what I thought Tangled was going to be
based
on all the fan art. Or not
yeah.
fan art.
Like production the concept imaging. Art? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Which we love so, Tangled, don't get us wrong. But
we
stand. That is,
we do love Tangled. It's just like what we thought was going to happen was not what happened.
Yeah, because that was that like the first like new style 3D movie that came out?
I think it was, right? Say yeah.
Like princess movie wise?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of when we made the switch.
Yes. Yeah, because Frozen came out after that.
I think so, yeah. I think it was mm-hmm. Princess and the Frog, then Tangled, right? And then, yeah, so that's when we made the switch.
Interesting.
Again, we love all of these movies. Us wrong. But just from like a like scratch my brain art looking at it perspective, we love that good 2D, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, 2D is supreme.
Yeah. We could talk about Prince Eric. Like, how does he rate sure on could. Your on the list of your favorite Disney princesses? Princes, where does he land? Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. Eric was never very high for me, but he's like mm-hmm. a very solid prince. And like mm-hmm. how I appreciate how down he is to murder for her so quickly.
Just immediately.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, this I like her. Let's go all out. So I want to say he's probably like a 3. Like top down, like number 1 in terms of like looks and sass for me is Prince Philip from Sleeping Beauty.
Philip. Love he's that so boy. Pretty.
I know. He's so pretty. And he, like, rolls his eyes.
Yes.
He's kind of a gay icon.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Prince Philip. And then I do like Kristoff a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say Prince Eric.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I mean, before all these new princes came out, I would say Prince Eric was probably, like, my number 2. Because, again, mm-hmm. Prince Philip was also my favorite. And he still has a very important part in my heart.
But, aesthetically.
Yes, aesthetic wise. But now, like, these newer princes, they have so much personality, and I do love that. I mm-hmm. think, I want to say Naveen is my favorite prince right now.
Oh my god, he's so good.
He's so good.
Eric's bumped down to number 4, unfortunately. I forgot about Naveen.
I know, he jumped right into our hearts, and I love him. So I would say mm-hmm. probably Naveen, and then Flynn Rider,
mm-hmm.
and then good. Philip, and then Eric.
Flynn Rider's like 5 for me, and I don't know why. I like him a lot. Like, I like how he's designed. I like all his funny stuff. But something about Rapunzel leaving her tower and marrying the first man she meets is just like a little, it's a little rough for me.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
But You Were My New Dream is one of the best.
Oh, it's so good.
I love one him. Song. I will, like, sing that to myself. I'll do both parts.
Are you talking about Last I See the Light?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one they sing on the boat together.
Yeah, so good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If Eric had sung in this movie, it might rank him up a little bit more.
You know, he doesn't sing, does he?
No, he plays the flute.
He sings in the musical. which is fun. Oh my
god, he does?
Yeah, they added like a bunch of songs for the musical, and he sings, I guess it, well, I think it is a duet with Ariel, but it's like her inside her head because she can't sing, obviously.
Oh.
But like they sing a song, quote unquote, together.
Interesting. I like that. They could end the song with like them doing a duet, or end the show with them doing a duet as well.
That's true. That'd yeah, I haven't cool. actually seen the musical, so I'm not sure, but I know from snippets.
I couldn't find any slime tutorials for this musical.
I'll have to keep looking.
I know. I was looking really hard, but I know Disney's very particular.
Yeah.
They're very strong on piracy. Yeah. mm-hmm. Which is silly.
Ridiculous.
The pirate movies that they have. Come on, just let me do it. I'll find it and we'll watch it and it'll be a good time.
Yes.
I do really like how they've translated the movie to the stage with the tails, with the roller
skates. Yeah, the costumes are very cool.
Mm-hmm. Ursula's tentacles, mm-hmm. they're so nice.
Can I tell a very short, fun story?
Absolutely.
Related to that. Ursula's tentacles. I won't say any names, but our local theater group did The Little Mermaid one summer, and it was like for the kids. I
remember that.
Yes. And Tim was Triton.
Tim was Triton. Oh my god.
Yes, Timmy was Triton.
My little brother Tim.
We're gonna have to see if we can find a picture and get his permission to post it.
That would be great. Honestly.
Yes. But anyways, one of my like family friend's daughter was in the show, and mm-hmm. she's like a dancer. Mm-hmm. And so she was cast as one of Ursula's tentacles. Because they were all, like, attached to, like, the dancers, and they, like, danced around her and stuff. Mm-hmm. And when she told her mom, she was like, Mom, I got cast as one of Ursula's testicles.
Oh, my God.
So now every time I hear the phrase Ursula's tentacles, it's always Ursula's testicles.
That's so good.
I know.
You'll have to tell me who that was off air, because that story sounds so familiar.
Yeah, I've probably told you before.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious. but yeah, they did add more songs. Do we know who wrote the new songs?
I don't know.
Alan Menken has passed away.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
The musical did come out a while ago, though.
Well, okay. Ashman and Menken both noted that they worked as writers on a successful off-Broadway stage musical for Little Shop of Horrors, so maybe they did more songs for Little Mermaid. Yeah, it's not gonna tell me. Oh my god, Sarah Bareilles was Ariel at one point.
What?
Yeah. In June 2016, they held a special presentation of the film at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles titled The Little Mermaid in Concert, and Sarah Bareilles performed as Ariel, Titus Burgess performed as Sebastian, which that makes a lot of sense.
And I think he did it on the actual like Broadway show too.
That would make sense. He's so good. I love Titus Burgess.
Yeah.
And Darren Criss from Glee and the Harry Potter musicals, he performed as Prince Eric.
Okay.
Yeah. Very interesting. I did not know that. Yeah. So we'll have to watch that live stage show. I think it would be a very good vacation show for us to watch together.
Oh, absolutely.
When we get to vacation again.
Yes, that's definitely a goal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maybe that's how we should format it. We'll find where it's showing and plan the trip around that.
Yes, I agree.
Great. We agree, so we do it.
We agree, so it's done.
Is there anything else we want to touch on The Little Mermaid? Oh, so we were both born in like, you know, early 90s, and this was released in 1989. So by the time we were born, there was plenty of My Little Mermaid, or the Little Mermaid merch to go around.
Oh, yeah. Because then the TV show came on afterwards on mm-hmm. Disney Channel. So I remember watching that as a kid. And then all the sequels that came out. Well, the sequel and then a prequel that mm-hmm. were animated.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were definitely, we lived in the Little Mermaid age.
Yes, we did. I don't think I had a lot of Little Mermaid stuff, and I don't know if that was just like a financial limitation or if my parents weren't they didn't care that much to find it. Which I can see it being a combination of those two factors.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like, because I remember like the Little Mermaid towels and mm-hmm. you flip the little hood up.
Yeah, yeah. I remember very specifically for like my sixth or seventh birthday or something, kind of that age, my grandparents got me a Little Mermaid costume. And it had like a sequin tail and like purple sequin top and the like it had like that shiny material that was like the fins.
Yes.
And oh I remember being so excited about that. Cause like that kind of thing was like kind of expensive, you know, like kids costumes are expensive. And like mm-hmm. we also grew up like with financial limitations. And so like, mm-hmm. I just remember very specifically that like my grandparents bought that for me and it was like a huge deal. And like, aww. We have a picture of me like wearing it. Like again, probably where my obsession with like the mermaid tail came from, like that yes. specific memory of that itchy costume. So good.
Aw, that's so sweet.
I'll try and find that picture and post it for you guys.
Yes. Let's post all of our childhood photos.
Yes.
That is so good. Oh, I do want to mention that the character's design for Ursula was based off of a drag queen yes. called Divine. And I feel like all of... so all of her actions... I don't know. It feels very in tune with the gay community. And mm-hmm. even in the prequel, that I don't know if you've watched it recently, but that movie feels very like gay too. In like a gay, I don't know, gay culture kind of way.
Yeah, I agree.
Nice. And I don't know. I just like it. Maybe that's why this is my favorite, because it was made with that in mind. I don't know. I like the art the gays make. They make good art.
I know. And I know like mermaids in general are kind of like a not like a symbol, but just like people identify with mermaids because mm-hmm. like they're of two worlds and they like you feel like you don't fit into either. Like I know mm-hmm. like the gay community and like trans people, like it's really something that they identify with, like, oh, mermaid is like a symbol of something that's like beautiful and people love, but going through this experience of being like a fish out of water.
Right. No, it's a very easy symbol to identify with in that way. Mm-hmm. Love it. Into
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Wow. What a great movie.
Yes. Oh, let me tell you one last little story from my personal life. Yes, the first time I met Ariel was at Disneyland for our high school trip.
Oh, and that's right.
Yes. And there was like the princess meet and greet section. And it was like Cinderella and then some mystery princess. And I was like, oh, well, let's just go meet the princesses. Like, that's cool. I've never done that before. Because it was like my first trip to any Disney property. Mm-hmm. And so we went and met Cinderella or whatever. And then we walk into the next room and it was Ariel. She was the guest princess. And I was freaking out. I was so excited to meet her. She was in like her blue dress that she wears in the parks.
Oh, yeah.
She was so pretty. And I loved her so much. And I, after the interaction, I went outside and I cried.
Oh. Oh, that's so good.
Like literally being my idol.
I know, right? I don't think I was there for that part of the trip. I don't know. I don't remember what else I was doing, but I've seen those photos mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I know I was not there.
No.
Yeah. I think the only princess I saw on that trip was Princess Jasmine, and I didn't wait in line. I was just like kind of walking by.
Yeah, the lines can be long for the princesses, but
I just want to go back. I want to go back and meet all the princesses now.
I know. We need to go.
We've never been to Disney together since that trip.
No, because that would have been your senior year, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or junior. Let's see. Your junior year. Because it was my sophomore year.
So it was my junior year.
Yeah.
And then I moved.
Yeah. But we will come together again and yeah. meet those princesses, dang it.
God damn. I remember seeing a photo of you with the mermaid version of Ariel.
Yes, I met the mermaid version in Disney World during my, maybe during the trip that, the high school trip, but definitely during my college program when I worked there. definitely got to meet her in her tail. And she, that was like the best interaction ever. She signed my hat and she tried to put my hat on and it got stuck on her flower. She was like, this is why we don't put on guest things. She was just so cute. I loved her.
Shout out to the Disney actors in the parks.
Yes, the cast members, 10 out of 10, amazing. Love them all.
Oh, it's so good. What a beautiful, what a special memory. I love that you went outside and cried.
I cried. I did. I was like 16. It was just all of my childhood memories just really coming together.
It was the whole thing, man.
Yes, healing my inner child.
Ugh. We love that. We love to heal our inner child through Disney media. Yes. So good. I also feel like Ariel is allowed to be a little bit sexy. Is that crazy?
I mean, I agree. I feel like mermaids in general are very sexualized. And so there's that aspect of it. But she is drawn older than 16. Oh, definitely. She's drawn like an adult woman. But yeah, I feel and like in a lot of iterations, at least especially in fan art, obviously, that happens a lot. But...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's, like, allowed to be beautiful and a little bit sensual, which I don't know. I like it.
Yeah. It's not, like, weird.
No, no. It's not. It's nice, you know?
Yeah.
sometimes when I see character design in animation, it's, like, things were so bad and so sexualized in the 90s. They've really, really steered the other way, and it's a little bit too sanitized almost.
Okay.
And some of the designs could come off, I don't know, not frumpy, but like is this Mormon approved, you know? Like,
yeah,
like they've got like, I don't know, it feels like everybody's really covered up a lot.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I don't know, it's just something I notice every now and then.
Yeah,
well, this is great. A great movie.
A great time. Great movie.
Great time. I want to say the most memories that stick with me from The Little Mermaid are like watching it with you and us singing the whole time.
Yes, constantly.
But I don't know. I didn't get to. Oh, and playing mermaids.
Well,
In like pools.
In pools and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely a very personal movie for us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's like you got to watch this movie to understand the core of who we are as people.
Yep, pretty much. It's going to give you a very good base understanding of us. Probably why this podcast exists.
It directly is, I would say.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. I think, what if next time we watch and review The King's Daughter?
Yes.
I think that would be a good one to do next.
Yes. I feel like we should go back and forth. Like, you pick what we do next, and then I pick what we do next.
Oh,
like,
go back and forth. Have I been picking the whole time?
No. I don't honestly don't remember who's been picking what. I feel like we've both been just like, yes.
Right? We just have ideas. It's like, it feels right.
I mean, my suggestion, we could do The King's Daughter for the next one. And then my suggestion for the next one is The 13th Year.
Oh my god! I like kind of having like we did Splash and then we did like a more modern movie.
Yeah.
And then we did The Little Mermaid and now we're gonna do the little more modern movie.
Yeah, go back and forth. Books in there, some comics. We need to do The Siren's Lament soon.
Oh my god. That artist I found her on TikTok.
Recently. I did too.
So good. We're going to be reviewing the 2020 movie, The King's Daughter, with Pierce Brosnan and some other people in
James Bond.
Oh, I'm so excited. There is already an episode of The Flop House on The King's Daughter, which is a movie podcast that I listen to that only reviews things that have bombed commercially.
Amazing.
I know. I'm so excited.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. But maybe we'll love it. I don't know.
Because there's mermaids, so.
Well, and just because it bombs commercially doesn't mean it's a bad movie. And
exactly.
That. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited. I might watch the movie and listen to the podcast about it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. It would be interesting to hear a non-mermaid lover's perspective.
Okay.
I guess.
Not looking through a fish lens.
Yeah. honestly. Now I'm less excited to. you can join us or dive in with us next time for The King's Daughter, a movie that exists.
Yeah. Do you have an ocean fact to sail us out of here?
Oh my God. Okay, so my ocean fact is going to kind of tie into the trip I just had. I just went to Las Vegas and I... Oh yeah, this is relevant. we stayed at a hotel that was... the pool there had a shark tank in the middle and it had a slide going through the shark tank. So like a little tube, you know?
Oh my God.
So if you slowed down enough, you would be able to see the sharks kind of around you. And it was really cool. But we also went to the Mandalay Bay Shark Aquarium, which was really cool. And they had a saw shark, which, like, you've heard of, like, a swordfish?
Yeah.
Its nose is like a saw.
Aww.
And it's a shark. It's super cool. But they bear a unique long saw-like rostrum, which is a snout or bill, with edged sharp teeth, which they use to slash and disable their prey. Apparently, there are 8 species of this, including the long nose or common saw shark, short nose, Japanese saw shark, and a Bahamas saw shark.
Wow.
But yeah, it was really cool. I don't think I'd ever seen one in an aquarium. And I don't know if it was like, I want to say it was a short nose because it was like, I don't know, it was about the length of like an average dude.
Okay. You know?
It wasn't like crazy big.
Yeah.
It was really cool. And I'd never seen one in captivity. So... that'll be my ocean fact. There's a shark that has a saw on its nose.
Saw face.
It is very cute.
I think we get, I feel like that type of shark is in some form of Little Mermaid eventually. Like if it's the second one or a sequel, I think he's a bad guy. I want to say there's one. We'll confirm that, but I'm pretty sure.
That is so funny. I would love to know that.
I'll research.
Wow. That would be great. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us. We will see you next time. I've been Audrey.
I'm Ash.
We have to go back into the ocean now.
Okay, bye. Splash.